Okay, so the two messages that we're going to be speaking about here is we're going to come back to where we left off when we've been discussing types. And we've been in Philippians. Both messages are going to be in Philippians. One message is going to be in Philippians chapter 3, and one message is going to be in Philippians 4. So they're kind of related. But they're absolutely essential for the Christian life. In the types, Paul is going to be speaking where we left off. We're going to come back to this. Paul is going to be speaking about how a Christian should run the race before him to gain the prize of Christ's likeness. And he's going to be mentioning rules and steps and walks and all of that. Then in the morning service, and he's going to mention that we have types that we can look at to see this. Then in the morning message, we're going to be looking at how peace can guard and how peace can rule in the heart. And there's a difference, but they're related. So that's what we're doing. Oh, somewhere. Here it is, under this. These are the notes I gave out last time, Nathan, if you want to see. We started this message with, it was called Step in Time, which was in Mary Poppins. Up on the rooftop where all the chimney sweeps start dancing and stepping in time. And that's a military term, actually, and it means everybody in harmony stepping and following. And while he's passing that out, if you needed it, remember, everybody was stepping in time with Bert and other people. But when they got to Mary Poppins, she did something that nobody could step in time to. She twirled and went up in the air and twirling around. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Well, let's pick up the context. So we're in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. That word perfect is the word that means complete. It could be translated mature, because completeness in this context, you can see if you look at it, perfection is relative. So it's a relative maturity. But I follow, I run after, if that which I may apprehend, to grab hold of, apprehend like a criminal, I apprehend and grab everything to myself, that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's saying, I'm not totally mature with there. I've gained everything of my position in Christ. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. By the way, as we go to this, we'll go to prayer. Where is Paul when he wrote this? He's in Rome. And he's in prison. And what was he doing before he went to Roman arrest in prison? He's about to be tried under Nero. He's going to be released. This is his first imprisonment in Rome. What did he do? Well, God never let him complete it, but what was he going to do? He was going to take a Jewish vow and make an offering and go back under law to please the Jews at Jerusalem, and God stopped him. He had already written Galatians, which says, we're not under law. So that's a pretty big mess up. But Paul's saying here, I can't let what mistakes I made in the past come up and constantly haunt me from doing what God wants me to do now. So I forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. That word press is to run the race. Olympics are on the TV right now. I haven't had an opportunity to watch any of it, but I see some guy fell. But you can run the race. So I run the race towards what? Towards a finish line. Towards the mark, the finish line for the prize of the upward, not high, upward calling of God, calling of God where? In Christ Jesus. He's saying, I keep looking in the heavenlies to what God counts me to be in Christ because that's what my future is going to be. God's going to, by grace, make me like Christ. So yes, I've made mistakes. But I don't let those mistakes keep coming up as obstacles in my mind of what God wants me to do now in my Christian life to grab hold of everything in my position. I can mature right now. I can grow. Verse 17, brethren, let's go to 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, complete, mature, thus be minded. What? What we just read. Forgetting the things behind and keep running the Christian life. Let us be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, if you have a different kind of mind, God shall reveal even this to you. He's not going to let you go. Verse 16, nevertheless, as to that which you have already attained of what? Perfection, maturity of who you are in Christ. Let us walk by, and here we start getting into our context. And by the way, I would not speak this to every church. This is really maturing stuff here, and it is difficult. So he's saying, let us walk. What has changed already in this context? What did he say? I run the race before me. Now what does he say? Walk. So we got to do some interpretation. By the same rule. What does that mean? Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers. That word follower is a mimic. Together of me, in unison, in harmony, together with me. And mark, that word mark means to focus on, to scope out, to set. It's the same in this context. I keep scoping out what I am in Christ, and now you also scope out them who, now he repeats the word walk, even as you have us, for an example. Okay, this is a different word, I think, for walk than we just read. Where was that? Up in verse 17. Fellow says walk, and then we had another walk in verse 16. Let me see here. Yeah. The word walk in verse 16 is different than the word walk in verse 17. They're different Greek words, but they're translated the same. Let's pray, and we'll try to get back to this. Father, thank you for this time together. We appreciate these folks. We look forward to what you have for us, because what you're giving us here are things that are going to affect our everyday life and living. So we appreciate Paul sharing with us these things that he's learned from the Spirit, and he tells us to mimic these and to look for others who are doing the same. So we thank you for this portion of Scripture. In Christ's name, amen. Raising children is probably one of the toughest things that you're going to face. How to raise them, how to give them some challenges, how much to give them, how to watch over them so that when they mess up a little bit, that you're there to encourage them getting back, but not giving them too much where they stumble so much that they're wiped out by the decisions that they made. Parenting is looking and guiding, knowing when to correct, to child train, how much, how little. We need the wisdom of God. But we are God's children. And the best examples that you can see of raising a child is how he raises his children. And here, as Paul says, he's living this life, and he has things and objectives that God has for him in a course to run that are laid out by his heavenly Father. He sometimes makes mistakes in that course. But the Father's forgiving. And the Father chastens, Heavenly Father, and corrects. And as Paul was in prison under the chastisement of his Heavenly Father, he comes back around. And he's given this wisdom of Philippians of how to keep on going. So both in the morning service and here, we're going to be seeing things of how the Heavenly Father instructs and guides and raises his Christian children to growth and maturity. And we can gain a little glimpse at raising our own children. I know sometimes I let my kids do some things I wasn't totally in agreement with. And sometimes they made decisions that were wrong. But you train them and you guide them and you help them through these things and you talk with them and you talk about wisdom and growth. And then eventually they grow up, and hopefully they grow up where they have a level of maturity where they can, and this is going to be the next message in the morning service, where they start making right decisions on their own. Yesterday at the wedding, I had a chance to talk to a gentleman for quite a while. In fact, he came to me three times, and one of Barbara's relatives. And really nice man. And we got to talking about this and the grace of God and how he allows us to raise our children and how we can thank God for his wisdom and his grace in doing this. But I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy raising children. It's not easy for our Heavenly Father. Look at us in raising us to maturity. Let's get back to this context. So here Paul says, first of all, to be, verse 16, he says, I'm looking at the end of verse 16, let us walk. This word walk is the word for taking individual steps. This word walk here is a very specific word for putting one foot in front of another foot and stepping in line. Now, what he talked about in the other verse, he says, what is he doing? He's running a race. Now, what he's doing in this next verse is he's saying, you're on a race course. He talks about that race course throughout the New Testament. It's in the book of Hebrews. It's in 2 Timothy. In Hebrews, he says, let us run the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. Remember? This goes through all his writing. We are on a race course. The race course that we're on, he says, he finished. In 2 Timothy, he said, I finished my what? Of course, my race is over. I'm going to be beheaded. My departure is at hand. I see that my course is ended. So the race course is a race course for maturity. So verse 14, I press, I run, is really talking about a course. And my course is different than Helen's course, is different than Tim's course, is different than Michelle's course, is different than Teresa's course. We all have a course that our Heavenly Father has laid out for us to run. And in this context, what does he says that race is running towards? Keeping your mind focused up here to the finish line of your course is where you gain Christ's likeness. He says we're going to be that in the future, but we can lay hold of some of that right now and have it in our life. Sometimes we're going to fail. There are other Christians who are going to be around you in the local church. Sometimes they're going to fail you. They will. But he's going to talk about in this context, we're going to get to it, who do you focus on? Yeah, don't just count them out of the race because they messed up. But focus on the ones who confess their sin and get back in the race. I don't know of any Christian who has been sinlessly perfect in their Christian life. Now we can get into another topic of how we're to encourage each other and help each other in the growth, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about our focus. Because there's other Christians who mess up who are complete flakes. They don't confess anything. They don't get back in the race. And there's two types of those in this context. It is. We're not going to get to it all today. But he says there's two types that you're not to focus on. Legalizers. And ones who are anomian. What does that mean? Christ died for all our sins. He forgives us. We just live and do what we want. Those are the two types. He says they're out there. And by the way, he said, they are many. In other words, those that are not running the race correctly are more than those who are. He's going to say that in the context. Let's get back to this. So the first word in verse 16, so we had in verse 14, I press, I run, I'm on a race course. That's an individual race course for me. Who laid it out? My Heavenly Father. Why did he lay it out? He laid it out because that's the best for Orin to grow. So there are going to be things that are going to come into my life that my Father allows because he wants me to put into practice what I've learned. And my Heavenly Father, He not only gives me the Holy Spirit to teach me, but He also gives me opportunities to take that which I've learned and put it into practice. That's good advice for raising children. Not only teach them, but give them opportunities to practice what they learned. But then Ephesians says, don't overburden them. Will you give them more than they can handle? I'm getting into other things. So back to this context. You're on a race course, and you're running a course that the Heavenly Father set out for you as an individual. Now, in the Olympics, you've got all different kind of races. You have the race that's, a 50-yard dash? Just go with the cheeks going and all reaching out. I mean, you ever see them in slow motion? And they're going. You've seen that, haven't you? And they're going and doing that. Okay, that's like, you know, a dash. That's just booking it all out, running. Yeah, and you're doing that. But do you ever see the other kind of race there is? It's almost funny. Do you ever see the walking race? Do you ever see that? I don't know. I can't even. Judy, you race. You can come up here and imitate. No. You want Nathan too? No way. But you've seen those, right? You've seen how they, like, you know, they walk real fast. It's a fast walk race. He's talking about a race course that he keeps running down. That's in verse 14. It's laid out by the Father individually for you. And you will finish it one day. In that race course, if you can picture a walking race, he's really emphasizing each individual step that you take in that walking race down the course. The Father set your race course. What are you to do? You have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to take each individual step deliberately. See that? He says in verse 16, the end of the verse, let us individually step by the same rule. Now, some of this is repetitious. I'm going over it again. I did last time, but it's good. I've been gone for a couple of months. Anybody remember what this word rule is? By the way, if you have an interlinear, I don't know if you do, Jan's not here, the interlinear leaves it out. It should be there. It's in all the major texts. It should be there. Okay, Michelle has an interlinear. It's not there. It's a textual problem. They leave out that whole end of the verse, be of the same mind, walk according to the same rule. It should be there. It's in, I actually talked to Pastor Schaefer about this also, and I said, there's no evidence that it shouldn't be there, and they leave it out because it's not in this Alexandrian-type text. But it's in, the majority of the Greek texts have that word there. It should be there. What is this word rule? Anybody remember? It's the word for a carpenter's rule. What's a carpenter's rule? How many have done any construction here? Okay, David. If you're cutting 2x4s to frame up a wall, I don't know if you've done that, but do you cut each one individually or do you make a standard? You cut each one individually, but do you measure each one and then measure the next one? Or do you make a rule? And then you make it to their rule. I had to learn this when we were framing up the church building in Grants Pass. Ed Lawrence is in the nursing home right now. Ed Lawrence, Kerry's dad, was one of my deacons. He told me to frame up this wall. And I cut each individual board by itself and measured it, and I put it in, and then the wall was up there, and he looked at it, and he went, get over here, and he made me stand back. And even though I tried to measure exactly, the boards were off, and they were slanted, and he said, now get your hammer and rip the whole thing out. He made me rip it all out. And then he said, you take a 2x4 or whatever, I think those were 2x6s, and he says, you measure it, and then you mark on this one, this is your standard. Every other board's going to be cut to that exact length. And then you put it down and you do it. So this word rule is the word for carpenter's standard. It's the standard that they cut everything to get the same length that they want. It keeps everything straight and it keeps everything plumb. But this is talking about a walk here. So he's saying, let us take each individual step by the same carpenter's measurement, which we have to identify what that is. What does that do? That keeps all Christians having the same gait. In our race of walking in this race course that's set out for us, where every single Christian has a different course set by the Father, but every single Christian is to walk in harmony on the same gait. By the way, these are all military things that are here. Did you ever see like the pictures from China or from Korea now, and they show the guys walking and they go, and you have different heights, different things, but they're all right in line. They're all absolutely in line. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying step, one step in front of the other, so you're in a straight line running down that course. You're not going off to the side, into the stands. You're straightly one step in the other, according to the same gait, so that there's harmony as you run your course. Let's go real quick. I think we'll finish with that today. What is the standard rule in this context? What is the standard rule that measures my putting one step in front of another in my gait? Well, first of all, let's look at verse 9 of this context. Paul says, let's pick up verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things that were gained to him, verse 7, but loss for the excellency of the experiential knowledge of Christ, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win. What's the prize of running down the Father's course according to the same rule, watching every step? What are you going to win? What's the winning at the end of this course? Christ-likeness. That I might win Christ, this Christ-likeness. I'm imputed in Christ Jesus, but I can actually win in this race Christ-likeness. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, from the law, but that which is, that righteousness, which is through faith concerning Christ, the righteousness which is of God, and let me get the words right here, through the faith. Do you see how I retranslated that? Let me do it again. And be found, that word found is eureka. I found it. That's the word in the Greek, eureka. And be found, it's to be discovered. and I may be discovered in him. What's that? Position. That I'm living in my position in Christ, not having my own righteousness, the one that's out of a quality of law, legalism. But, strong contrast, the righteousness that is through faith. Now, it says in the interlinear in the King James, the faith, but it's no article there. It's a righteousness that, the one not out of law, but the righteousness that's through faith concerning Christ, the righteousness that's out of God, a quality of righteousness that's out of God based upon, I'm retranslating, which is based upon, not by, it's epi, based upon the faith. So you have two things here. First of all, we're looking at the rule. We're all to take this, we're all to step, be careful to take each individual step in this walking race towards the finish line of winning Christ, but we're all to do it by the same gate method of stepping. What's the first thing of measuring the gate of stepping? What's the rule that's first of all? What is it? It's a quality of righteousness, of acting right, that comes because you believe. So what can we say first of all? If you're believing something, there has to be promises. If you're believing something, then the person who's taking the individual steps has to be what? Spiritual. So if you're a carnal Christian, if you are living by the sin nature, you can't step. Because this stepping is a stepping of a quality of righteousness that does not come from conforming to some quality of law that other Christians or people put on you and say, okay, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this other thing. It's not that. You're not conforming yourself to some standard of quality of law that other people impose upon you. Then what is it? It's a quality of righteousness. And what is righteousness? Acting right. What am I acting right? I'm acting right according to who I am in Christ. A righteousness of God in Christ. So God imputes me in Christ to have his quality of righteousness. What kind of righteousness is that? I act according to who I am. Not according to some imposed legalism. I act according to what God says I am in Christ. What's that? A son of God. So it's acting right as a son of God. How do I do that? He says, I do it by a quality of faith. So there are promises that God has for me that I can act right as a son of God. By the way, opposite way, I could keep going on this. In child training, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says the father chastens every what? Son whom he receives. So when I'm not acting right according to who I am in Christ, by believing God's promises, then God's going to child train me. You're not acting as a son. So that's another good example of raising our children. When do we correct them? We teach them what it is to be my son. And then when they're not acting accordingly, I ask God for wisdom of how to child train them so that they will come to learn to act according to who they are. Anyway, I'm off topic again. So this is, he acts right by believing certain promises that God has given him in Christ. Now, what are some of those promises? It goes on. It's a righteousness. He goes on. What promises? It's a righteousness that is based upon the faith. A righteousness that's based upon the faith. What's the faith? It's a body of doctrine to live the Christian life where God gives us promises to have victory over our enemies so we can act right. Because our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, want to put thoughts into our mind to get us not to act right. But God has given us precious promises. Romans chapter 6. Believe, know, reckon, yield, have victory over the sin nature. That's a promise. If you walk by means of the Spirit, you will no wise never fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's a promise. If you put on the whole armor of God, the devil will flee from you. That's a promise from God. To act a quality of righteousness that's based upon me as a son. I can use the world, but I'm not to use it to its full extent. So the world is crucified to me and me to the world, and I can overcome the world. I can actually use something that's dangerous. I can learn, I'm going to use an illustration, learn how to handle dynamite without blowing myself up. God's given us promises that are called the faith. Doctrine that's in Scripture for His sons, so that they don't have to follow the world, the flesh, or the devil, but they can live according to their identity. That's another message, but it's in Peter. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We act right because we're separated, holiness, separated unto who we are. That's not me. That's them. All this craziness going on the TV with the election and media lying and the twisting and all this other stuff, it can make you go mad, but you sit back and you say, no, I'm in Christ and the Father tells me He's in control and nobody gets into office unless He allows it and nothing's going to happen unless He allows it and He sets up even the basest of men. That's Daniel chapter 4. Now, how can I keep my mind and act right and realize that's them? This is me. How do I do that? I do it by directing faith, have to be spiritual, at the faith, and that's part of the stepping. I have it on your notes. I'm on the second page. So it's through faith, based upon the faith, by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, that's in verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in or by the Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit to enable us. So I got to quit. People are coming in the door. We'll come back to this. But I was telling you, these sections I'm discussing now in Philippians are so crucial for your Christian life. So how do I finish the course that the Father laid out for me? I keep my eye focused on who I am in Christ. And then I take each individual step in my walk on this course, believing God's promises And when I'm attacked by the world, the flesh, or the devil to get me off course, I walk by the same rule, a righteousness that's of faith directed to the faith. All right. Any questions? Did that confuse you all? I hope not. All right, we'll come back to this because there's much more here. Father, thank you for this time together. We appreciate your word. Appreciate how it keeps us on course when we utilize it correctly. In Christ's name, amen.